Thank you very much, Carol. And thank you to all who are doing service at this meeting, and also to Judy for asking me to share my story. Because I might get my words fluffed, I've actually written it out. So I will be reading. So, yeah. And also, greetings to you wherever you are in the world. I'm Victoria, a compulsive overeater. And this is my story. I have never found life easy. It was to be survived at all costs, and the costs were high. I come from a military background with an authoritarian father. I was never allowed to question anything or voice an opinion. I was not allowed to show anger, and so every emotion I had was stitched up tight inside me. I learned to fear authority and to doubt every opinion or thought in my head. I had no sense of who I was or what my place in the world was. I had no control over anything, which became apparent when I was very, very young. And so I started exhibiting some disturbing, controlling physical behaviors, which resulted in my being admitted to hospital for a surgical intervention, the most traumatic experience of my young life. Another traumatic event was when I was dispatched to boarding school with no explanation or consultation whatsoever. I was told I was going, and that was that. For a time, I reverted back to the physical behaviors I had used when very young. But as I got older, I learned that food could give me the comfort and love I so desperately needed. I started hiding food and secretly eating. I would buy a full box of something from the tuck shop, hide it, and eat it without being seen. It was around this time that I learned to lie. This was in order to survive abuse being dished out by fellow pupils at my first boarding school. Thereafter, I never expressed an opinion or truthfully stated what was going on with my emotions, as I didn't really know what I felt, apart from fear of almost everyone and everything. People pleasing became a way of life and survival. My thinking was so screwed up that when in my teens, I believed if someone wanted to have sex with me, that must mean they loved me, so I became promiscuous, forever searching for some validation of myself. As soon as I could leave home, I went to London, got a job, and found somewhere to live. Through my belief that sex was the key to being loved, I fell pregnant at the age of 18. The firm I worked for insisted that I tell my parents, which I did. A termination was the only course of action presented to me, with no caring or consideration for me or what I might feel or want to have happen. From the day of the termination to the day my parents died, it was never, ever mentioned. I began questioning my sexuality at my second boarding school, which was in Belgium, and had my first lesbian relationship, innocent and ignorant as we were at the age of 14. We were discovered and forbidden to have any future contact with each other. Several years later, I ended up in an abusive same-sex relation with an alcoholic, which I had to have help escaping from. More traumatic years ensued around this person, resulting eventually in her suicide. At this time, I was stuffing my feelings down with food, hiding the evidence and lying all the time about my eating, even though I was getting bigger and bigger. My large size gave me a certain satisfaction, as I felt I was not sexually attractive and therefore safe from that aspect of life. After many years of diets, swimming clubs, undergarments of torture, bribes to lose weight from my godfather, belittling of my size by my father, I was desperate. I came upon OA, but was immediately put off by the God word. That was an authority too far for my fragile mind at the time. My eating behaviors were many and varied. I would hide wrappers in nooks and crannies on a walk with the dog. I would buy a bag load of cakes and eat them all in the privacy of the public loos. I would get frozen buns out of the freezer, put them in bed with me to defrost, and then eat them. I would shop for my father, buying extra things that I would immediately hide in my bedroom, lying about the change and never showing the receipt. In the days when I babysat, I would raid the cupboards looking for biscuits or sweets. When I started working at a local hospital, I would buy two lunches to take out, always saying the second one was for someone else. My desk drawers had emergency supplies of food that I could gorge on, always in secret. I only felt safe when I knew I had food secreted somewhere and could eat it as needed. I was miserable, sad, lost, still playing the clown, and always people pleasing. In 2002, my weight had ballooned to 22 stone, 308 pounds, when I was accepted for bariatric surgery and admitted to St James Hospital in Leeds for a gastric bypass. Keyhole surgery hadn't been invented for this procedure then, so I have a long zip of a scar. At the time of surgery, I was told that I was actually malnourished. I lost stones in weight, but it didn't change my unhappiness or my compulsion to eat. I simply found ways around not being able to eat certain foods as they made me physically ill, and I began gaining weight again. I told a counsellor I was seeing at the time that I thought I had an addiction to food. Finally, in desperation and weighing 246 pounds, I again turned to OA at the back end of 2018. I found a meeting and heard things that made me sit up and take note. The biggest impact being that the simple desire to stop compulsive eating was all that was required for me to join OA. That this was a spiritual program and not a religious one resonated with me, and I realized it was something I could happily accept. I read the 12 and 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous and knew this was my place. I identified with all the compulsive, insane behaviors in step two, which remains my favorite step. I found a sponsor and in January 2019 put down the food. I have been imperfectly abstinent on three meals a day with nothing in between ever since. I have had a good deal of physical recovery, having released 106 pounds, and I'm about to start or have actually started working the steps again with a new sponsor who is kind and caring. My food plan has changed over time and I am now working on maintenance. I am much more able to speak my truth and I have stopped people pleasing. I am learning all the time with the help of my loving great mother, the steps and the OA fellows I connect with. In November 2023, I was diagnosed autistic at the age of 72, which has been a huge journey for me as I now understand why I have always found life difficult. It is helping me make sense of my past behaviors around compulsive overeating, which were the only thing that helped me cope with the challenges that simply living presented. I work the program to the best of my ability, not perfectly, as I am an imperfect human. I also try to live by the principles in all my affairs, again, imperfectly, but trying. I am more at peace with myself than I have ever been. There is a long road still to travel, steps to work, resentments, fears, and defects to be dealt with, a lifelong journey, one day at a time. Thank you for listening.